Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another episode of the Wizards Tip-Off Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Hughes, and joining me today in studio is a familiar voice, a familiar name, Travis Thomas, host of DC Sports Live, and you know him from Wizards Hang Time and Wizards Overtime before and after Wizards games. Travis, thanks for joining the show again.
Chase, don't forget about DC Sports Live Monday through Friday, 10 p.m.
That's right. DC Sports Live, as I said, he co-hosts that with Michael Jenkins. It's Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. And I help him out on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome.
About a month in, and it has been a lot of fun. And we'll be doing a lot of stuff for All-Star Weekend, MLB All-Star Weekend
coming up.
So make sure you check that out. You'll see myself and, of course, Travis on the TV with DC Sports Live. We'll have a bunch of special episodes as we follow Bryce Harper and all those guys as the one of the biggest events in sports comes to D.C. So that'll be real fun.
Have you noticed D.C. is now like the hub for sports, man? It's beautiful.
It's
we are popping right now, right?
It's been a good year.
It's awesome.
You know, the Wizards obviously bowed out early in the playoffs, but signing Dwight Howard, they've been in on the mix. And then you got the Caps winning the Stanley Cup, and then the All-Star game coming here.
D.C. United, new stadium.
Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney.
Yep.
So a lot going on around here.
A lot is going on in D.C. So today, we're going to talk about some Wizards. We're going to talk about the Summer League. Also, the Austin Rivers and Jeff Green signings. I've got an interesting debate involving those. We'll also talk about Kawhi Leonard and the team that he is now favored to go to by odds makers in Vegas. It's a surprise. We'll break that down. We'll also talk some Isaiah Thomas to the Denver Nuggets. But to begin this episode, Travis, I've got a little pop quiz for you, all right? I got a little test.
Okay.
Impromptu quiz. And what I need you to do, I see you got your phone out. Do me a favor and bring up the NBA standings. Can you do that?
Got it.
That's him clicking on his phone, right? All right, NBA standings. Don't throw out the Western Conference. I don't care about the Western Conference. Look at the Eastern Conference. You got 15 teams, right?
Yep.
The quiz is, find me a team that has had a better offseason so far than the Washington Wizards.
Ooh, well, you know, you brought up Kawhi. That could change everything.
That could change everything. But as of today. As of Friday the 13th. Is there a team out there that's had a better offseason? You know, I don't think you're going to find it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because you can't.
Yeah,
the Wizards so far, I think, have had the best, at least the most aggressive offseason of any team in the Eastern Conference. Now, not a whole lot has happened.
Right.
The Western Conference has been nuts.
Yeah, they took everyone. That's the issue.
They took LeBron James. All the top free agents that were free agents in the West stayed in the West, sometimes with other teams, like Boogie Cousins. Paul George stayed, of course. DeAndre Jordan went to Dallas, but the Eastern Conference has been super quiet. Now, the one team that has had a really good offseason, I think, you know, depending on what you think of these draft picks, like maybe you really like Trae Young, you say, oh, the Atlanta Hawks have had the best offseason because he's great. The Indiana Pacers, they've made some moves. They retained Bojan Bogdanovic. They get credit for that. They signed Tyreke Evans and Kyle O'Quinn, and they've made some other moves. So they've added some depth. But I think if you look at Austin Rivers, Jeff Green, Dwight Howard, and then if you want to include Troy Brown Jr., the Wizards maybe, as of now, have improved the most of any team in the Eastern Conference. Now, I'm not saying they've had this offseason for the ages, but they have done enough to, I think, as of today, you know, 2 weeks into free agency and 3 weeks removed from the draft, maybe have the best offseason so far of any team in the East.
Well,
is that crazy?
No, I mean, I think you're right. I just hope that the moves pay off. I mean, to me, you know, Rivers and Green feel pretty safe. Troy Brown was definitely a safe draft pick. The Dwight, to me, is the boom or bust, in my opinion. It, you know, obviously, he's boom in the sense that he has been consistent statistically. You're going to get a double-double out of him. He's going to be a rim protector to a certain extent. But it's bust in the sense that You know, we just got rid of a headache in Marcin Gortat, okay? He and John didn't get along. So we get him out of here, but then you bring in a guy who has caused issues in locker rooms everywhere he's been. So the bust potential to me is not necessarily on the court as much as it is in the locker room.
Yeah. Could bust. Could definitely bust, you know? We'll see. But when it comes to Dwight Howard, I was thinking about this earlier today because I was on the Team 980 with Kevin Sheehan, and he was saying, where do the Wizards fit into this picture? Because he said right now Boston, Philly, and Toronto are the top three teams in the conference. And, you know, I'm not going to disagree. I think certainly in the regular season, that would be my guess. And then the Wizards are kind of maybe in that second tier with Indiana and Milwaukee and some of these other teams that have been on the rise. But the Wizards took the Raptors to six games, and they weren't at full strength. Otto Porter was hurt. John Wall had only played like three or four games before the playoffs began. Now that they have this depth and Dwight Howard, is it crazy to think that they, at least from a playoff perspective, may have passed the Raptors or have the potential to pass them and beat them in a series now? And also, Dwight Howard, I think, makes them a lot more formidable up against the Sixers. But in terms of seeing them against the Raptors, do you think that's crazy to think that they could actually be the third team in the conference at this point?
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Because
they won like 60 games last year.
They're an eight seed.
Until they prove otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what has this team done when the expectations are there? They have not done well with prosperity. And so until you see it, they are what they are, to quote Bill Parcells back in the day. I mean, they're an eight seed. That's it. So now, obviously, Cleveland has dropped completely off the face of the earth. So that opens up a spot. You know, we'll see if Milwaukee gets better. We'll see what Miami does. Indiana, as you said, has had a good offseason. And then Toronto, Boston, Philly, we know the deal. So we'll see where they fit in once we get going. But to me, I'm not putting them up there because they just haven't done it, Chase. And to suggest that, well, this guy was banged up, that guy was banged up. I mean, listen, knock on wood, obviously, but it could be worse next season. You just don't know what the, you know, when the injury bug's going to bite you. Now, they could go through next season and be at full health, and then we'll see. Roll the ball out and let's go. But for me, this is an underachieving. Now, obviously, we know talent-wise, they should be third. In my opinion, I mean, I feel like this team with LeBron out should be in the Eastern Conference Finals with a shot to go to the finals. I'm not going to say they're going to be in the NBA Finals.
But we've been saying should for a while.
We've been saying should for a long time. So until then, right now, this is an underachieving, just hugely talented basketball team.
Why don't we stay with the Toronto Raptors? Because I think it surprised a lot of people that all of a sudden they are the favorites in Vegas to land Kawhi Leonard. And the Eastern Conference, of course, if Kawhi Leonard goes to the Raptors, the Sixers, or the Celtics, that will change a lot of things. If he stays in the West, if the Spurs trade him to the Lakers, that'll be great news for the Wizards because they will have a pretty good shot at going deep in the playoffs. But he could change everything. But right now, the Toronto Raptors are the favorites. They're above the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, all these teams that have been linked to Kawhi Leonard. The Raptors, what would they give up? What do you think the Spurs would be interested in that the Raptors have? They have some assets, but not like the Sixers have assets. Not like some of these teams who can offer top draft picks and players have assets. So what was your reaction to seeing that? Because Vegas knows. Vegas had LA, the Lakers, is the top destination for LeBron, and then sure enough, it happened. So you can't rule it out. You can't disagree with Vegas that strongly.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it's that far-fetched. I actually think it would be a good landing spot for him, and that's why I think it has, you know, jumped to the top of the list in terms of odds makers. I don't know what they would give up, but I know they need to do it because this is a team that really just has not been able to get it done and has not been able to get over the hump. And sure, you can blame LeBron. And you could say, well, they've run into the juggernaut that was LeBron James and the Cavs. But even the way they would lose to him, particularly this year, it didn't look like they were close.
They got swept.
And so to have the regular season they had and then get just slapped by LeBron James, they're not close. And so you need to roll the dice. You need to gamble. And boy, is Kawhi a gamble, because if you do give up whatever assets it takes to get him, and you're basically renting him for a season because he's already said he wants to be in L.A., whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers, that's where he wants to be. So you are banking that not only will he come here and maybe get us over the hump, but we can keep him. We can retain him. That's asking an awful lot of a front office to give up some assets to get a guy who could walk right out of your life.
I appreciate the aggression on their part. You know, it kind of reminds me of last summer with the Thunder going right after Paul George. Like,
and
there's no guarantee he's going to stay, but he stayed.
Yeah, that paid off.
And the Raptors do have some things working for them. They've got two all-stars, all-NBA guys, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. They could offer one of them. They've got, I think, more international players than any other team in the league. We know the Spurs like international players.
Of course.
They've got a bunch of recent first-round picks like OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. They've got some young talent that might actually be able to pull off a trade like that.
Let me see if stick with me on this. Let's see if we agree on this. We both agree DeMar DeRozan's not going anywhere, right? Can we agree to that?
I think if I'm the Spurs, I want DeMar DeRozan to come back. I don't want Lowry. Lowry's contract's
okay.
About to be horrible.
That's where I was going to go was I don't believe they're going to trade DeRozan. I could see Lowry getting traded. And then my next question was going to be, how does Kawhi and DeRozan fit? Because aren't they the same player? Am I missing something?
I feel like you can have a lot of guys their size, like at the wing position. You know, like
put
look
Kawhi
at
three.
Yeah, Kawhi three and DeMar DeRozan's your two. And defensively, I think that works out pretty well. Now DeRozan, you're always wondering because he kind of has to have the ball in his hands. He's a really ball dominant guy. He's not a big outside shooter. You know, is really not very valuable in catch and shoot situations. So offensively, but they were so good offensively this year, man. They can hit threes. I don't know. If they give up DeRozan though for Kawhi Leonard or even Kyle Lowry for Kawhi Leonard, like how good are they?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is Kawhi Leonard's obviously an upgrade from either one of those two, but look, when I watched their games in the playoffs when they were getting smacked around by LeBron, I didn't blame that on DeRozan. I blamed that on the team. Everybody, I mean, including DeRozan, didn't show up. It's not like everyone was balling and DeRozan let them down in big moments. So I don't know if you're that, you know, is that going to get you over the hump? Lowry and Leonard? I don't think so.
All right, when it comes to the Wizards, obviously Dwight Howard has taken most of the attention for their offseason. But Austin Rivers and Jeff Green are two additions that, you know, one was a trade, one was a signing, but they're both kind of similar level additions in my mind.
Yes.
Austin Rivers is a backup shooting guard.
Yep.
He can play some point guard. Jeff Green's a backup power forward, can play some small forward. Both are probably going to play about the same minutes this year, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to have the bigger year, the bigger impact on the Wizards? Both these guys, by the way, are on expiring deals. Austin Rivers or Jeff Green?
I think Jeff Green, because he's been consistent his whole career. Austin Rivers, to me, feels like a guy that kind of came up, you know, paid his dues, showed he can play, sort of had to prove it, if you will, and he did. But then I think he almost feels like someone who thought he was better than he was. He certainly got paid for it. Paid like it. And so to me, Jeff Green's just been pretty even Steven across the board. Now, you talk to guys who know the game and who have played the game, they'll all tell you, talent-wise, Jeff Green should be elite.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's had a really good, consistent career. And I would also say Jeff Green because I think he helps you more defensively than Austin Rivers. And that's what this team needs, in my opinion. So a scrappy guy who's consistent, can play D, I think Jeff Green.
Yeah, Austin Rivers,
he's just going to get buckets coming off the bench.
Yeah.
He's going to get you some buckets.
I think he's going to make the bigger impact, honestly. But I think
who?
In less minutes. Austin Rivers.
Really?
Yeah, because Beal or Wall, one of those guys, you know, may get hurt. But regardless, I think they're going to play a lot of three-guard basketball. And Austin Rivers is going to, I think, be their best bench scorer and affect a lot of games when he pops off for 15, 20 points and hits 4 or 5 threes. So I'm going to go with Austin Rivers there. But I've got to ask you about something involving the Summer League and something you said about the Wizards, how they operated in the draft, right? But we'll do that right after a quick break. And we're back on the Wizards Tip-Off Podcast, Chase Hughes with Travis Thomas in studio. And Travis, you were honest, and I appreciate the honesty, but you weren't a big fan of the Troy Brown Jr. pick at the time. Robert Williams, right, was the guy that...
Yep.
Okay. I, going into the draft, said that Robert Williams would be the should be the pick. They passed on him. Since, a lot has changed, right? The Wizards signed Dwight Howard. Now, depending on what you think about that move, it obviously addressed the same role that Robert Williams would play. Robert Williams, if they had picked him, all of a sudden wouldn't be getting minutes if they had signed Dwight Howard. Robert Williams has been a disaster for Boston so far. Not only does he have a health problem, an artery issue in his leg, that's not his fault, but he's missed a flight, he's missed a conference call. There's some weird things going on there where you wonder about this guy's level of responsibility and professionalism at this age. Meanwhile, Troy Brown has played really, really well in the Summer League, averaging about 16.7 rebounds, balling out in head-to-head matchups with Zaire Smith, the guy who was picked 16th, Lonnie Walker, the fourth, picked right after him for the San Antonio Spurs. So given all that's transpired, Travis, since the draft, have you changed your tune on Troy Brown? Because I have seen the narrative with him evolve over the last few weeks, especially on social media, because in part because of how he's played in Summer League. Have you evolved?
I didn't really have a tune on Troy Brown because I didn't know who the hell he was.
Yeah. I think that was the issue for a lot of people.
Right? My tune was, and it looks like he can play, and he's a grown-up. He has some sense, unlike Robert Williams. So, you know, obviously right now it's looking like a good pick. It is a summer league, so I'm not going to go crazy. But I'll say this. I have not changed my tune on that they should have taken Robert Williams. Now, he's done some knucklehead things, obviously, but that's why he dropped. He dropped for a reason. I mean, the guy was a potential lottery pick when this draft started, and he dropped all the way down. So I will say this. The health issue with him scares me because no one can – I mean, what are you going to do about that? No one could see that coming. But all things being equal, let's say he gets healthy and he's able to play and he's able body. I believe that coach, Brad Stevens, will have him able mind by the time it counts. And I still, here on July 13th, Friday the 13th, believe, barring health, that that guy will come back to haunt the Wizards for years to come.
You know what? You make a really good point that I hadn't thought of. He is in Boston with, like, arguably the best coaching staff in basketball, or one of the best coaching staff, certainly in player development. They make their picks count. You look at all these guys who are developing for them and playing big minutes and making big plays in the playoffs. If he was drafted by the Sacramento Kings, I think I've already seen enough to be like, yeah, it's over. He's not going to be anything.
Right.
But since he's in Boston,
right,
maybe the guy does have a chance.
Yes.
So, but Troy Brown, at least in a vacuum, you like Troy Brown better than you did just a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Well, I just didn't know who he was. And listen, and I said this on air, I'm married to a Bruin. And I watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball, okay? We watch even a lot of Pac-12 football. It's a lot of Pac-12ing going on at the Thomas household. So I've watched UCLA versus Oregon a few times, and not once did I walk away from that thinking, man, this Troy Brown kid's pretty good. In fact, that Oregon team had four or five guys like Troy Brown. They had just these 6'7 swingmen, kind of that four-guard offense type thing.
They weren't that good. They didn't make the tournament.
I know. And so my point being, he never jumped off of the screen at me. And I watched those games. But obviously in the summer league, he's looked good. He fills a need that the team felt like they had. And he's, what, 19 years old? 18. He's about to turn 19. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, look, it's right now, it's the first quarter, and they're ahead on the scoreboard. But we got a long way to go.
Yeah, I don't want to get carried away, especially with like Devin Robinson. There's been a lot of guys who have dominated the summer league and then never done anything at the NBA level.
And that's my point about Robert Williams is, look, the health thing, you know, assuming he gets that right, he's going to be fine. I mean, he's in the perfect place to be doing the things he's doing now. to learn from his mistakes. Brad Stevens and that franchise will work with that kid. And I, again, when it counts, he's going to be there and he's going to haunt us.
What about losing his wallet twice? I saw some people on social media, I think it was on, I think USA Today wrote an article. They're like, oh man, never has Robert Williams been more relatable for losing his wallet twice in 2 weeks. I was like, what?
Yeah.
How is that relatable? Like, yeah, I think I lost my wallet like once.
Right.
But not twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Look.
And he went to the airport without an ID and tried to get on a plane.
Right.
No, that's not normal. That's not relatable.
I think the behavior he's exhibiting shows why he dropped.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just that simple. It's why, what, 27
by the
teams
way,
passed on.
Imagine if the Wizards had taken Robert Williams and he did all these things as a Wizard with their history with, you know, the knuckleheads, and I don't even have to name them all. Nick Young, JaVale McGee, yeah. Andre Blotch, all these guys. This front office would be taking some heat. It's like one thing to do that in Boston, which, by the way, they've got a tough media contingent. If he keeps this up, it's going to be he's going to create some problems for himself. But if he was doing this in Washington, it would just fit into the narrative that a lot of fans can't get over, even
right.
though they haven't really had a knucklehead in a long
right.
time.
Right.
But it would just be a bad look for the Wizards.
I think it would be the exact same that's happening in Boston in the sense that the Wizards now have a strong coach. They have a strong front office, and they would be able to rein this kid in. That's what Boston's trying to do. You know, listen, the climate back then with the knucklehead stuff was because it was allowed. I mean, if you do something dumb and you get away with it, you're going to keep doing it. So to me, this kid has had some mistakes. I guarantee you they're trying to rein him in, get him focused, get him right, and barring health, he'll be ready to go. If that was happening here, it would be the same routine.
All right, final topic, Isaiah Thomas.
Oh.
Unbelievable fall from grace.
Yeah,
it's really
man.
Been tough to see because he's a guy who's pretty easy to root for
yeah.
because of his size, all that he's been through. He went from being an All-NBA player, last summer he was an All-NBA player, got traded to the Cavaliers, then to the Lakers, had to wait out free agency and sign a veteran minimum contract with the Denver Nuggets. But I like the landing spot for him. In
you do?
Denver, yeah. Not just because he wears a headband, and that's where like the coolest dudes who wear headbands play, is in Denver. You know, looking back at Allen Iverson and Carmelo.
Yeah.
But they've got a pretty nice young team. Like, they got Jokic, Nikola Jokic, who's one of the best centers in the NBA. Unbelievable passer and shooter for his size. Just got paid.
Yep.
Gary Harris, who's a really good shooting guard, kind of like a little bit younger Bradley
yep.
Beal. Like, he has Bradley Beal potential.
Will Barton.
They just made a trade with the Nets. He might have been in that. They had to clear some salary. I know Kenneth Faried got sent over there. They cleared like $21 million. Will Barton might have been in there. But they've got Jamal Murray. They've got Paul Millsap. They've got Michael Porter Jr., who was picked one spot ahead of the Wizards. The Denver Nuggets are one of those teams, Travis, where like if they were in the Eastern Conference, I'd be like, oh, watch out for this team. They might be able to make some noise in the playoffs. Unfortunately, they're out west and probably one of those teams that would benefit most if they reseeded the playoffs and did away with the conferences. But what do you think about the opportunity Isaiah Thomas has found himself with a young team? He's not going to start, but he has the opportunity to bring some leadership and some scoring to a team that is clearly on the rise.
By the way, Baltimore's finest, Will Barton, is still with the Nuggets.
Okay.
He was not traded.
Chandler? Traded somebody.
I don't like the Isaiah Thomas signing with Denver. You know that old saying, Chase, pride cometh before the fall. I feel like, you know where he should have swallowed his pride?
Darrell Arthur's the guy.
Tucked his tail between his legs and gone back to Boston. Because that system was perfect for him. Now, obviously, you're not going to take Kyrie's spot. We all know that. We all know all the things that transpired between Isaiah and
Danny
Ainge.
But Kyrie's got a knee problem, man. There's no...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And business is business, okay? Danny Ainge made a business decision, and it was the right one. To me, if you're going to sign for the veterans minimum anyways, go back to Boston in a place where you can come off the bench, the fans love you, you're back in a system that made you who you are, you're healthy now, presumably, and you're backing up a guy who is injury prone. Let's call it what it is. Kyrie's injury prone. He's going to get hurt. Now, that's a chance for you to get back in there, start lineup, be the IT we've seen in Boston, and then you can go get some money. But he would never do that because of his pride. I personally think he's going to get lost in the sauce in Denver in the Western Conference. And, he's just not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's reason to believe, even though that Boston is so good, that he would have had more minutes to go around there.
Yes.
Because they don't have two young, like, borderline all-star players at the point guard and shooting guard position. It's kind of like, you know, if he went to the Wizards at this point in his career a few years ago. Like,
right.
Yeah, there's a chance they could get hurt, but those guys are pretty durable and pretty damn good. So if he went to Boston, he might have had a better opportunity. But I'm rooting for the guy. I like Isaiah Thomas a lot. I've only covered him, you know, in that Boston Wizards series, but he was so much fun to be around. I hope we get back to seeing him lighting it up and tapping his wrist, Isaiah Thomas, fourth quarter time, because that was great stuff. So we'll see. Lots to catch up on with the Wizards in the offseason as we move forward this summer. And up next is the All-Star break, man, for baseball.
Let's go.
Not basketball, but baseball. And make sure you catch myself, Travis Thomas, Michael Jenkins. We'll be out there amongst the fans at Nationals Park. It should be a lot of fun. But as always, thanks for listening to the Wizards Tip-Off Podcast.